Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 94, and today is Thursday, November 8th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, after the kind of long arc I did on Check the Weather, I'm going to be switching up gears a little bit on Developing Perspective and kind of probably going into a couple of weeks of, I guess you could call it, kind of Q&A. And so if you have any questions or comments or thoughts that you want me to sort of expound upon for 15 minutes, just let me know on Twitter. I'm _ David Smith there, or on AppNet, I'm David Smith, without the underscore. But generally speaking, it's just kind of, I thought it'd be interesting to kind of just walk through focus topics for the next couple of weeks while I kind of think about what I want to do next for a big arc, or if I want to do an epic big arc or whatever. So anyway, so this question that I'm going to talk about today comes from Brad Allen, and he was asking, kind of all about Git, version control, and how I use GitHub. And it seemed like a pretty good place to start. Version control is a pretty fundamental topic for developers and for development in general. So first, I'm going to kind of back up a little bit before I start talking about Git or GitHub and just talk about version control and what I think it's useful for and what it is and what it isn't. So for me, version control has two primary purposes. One of them is to create a sort of an anthology or a collection of all of the code I've ever written that worked and maybe didn't work, but specifically, it's all the code I've ever written that worked. That's what I really want my version control system to be for me. And when I say that is so that I can go back in time, I can pull out little fragments or little functions or things I've written or things I've done in the past, and I can apply them to my current problem. Typically, in my experience, if you have an existing solution to a problem, it's often better to adapt that to a new problem or a similar problem than it is to entirely reinvent the wheel every time. And source control is great for that because it lets you keep track of not only what your current sort of the current snapshot at the head of your source control system is, but also all the previous things you've had. And I've often encountered things where I'll go back in time and be like, oh, what was that thing I used to do when, before I did this, now, whatever. You can kind of go back in time and reach in and grab it. Or often what I'll end up doing is it allows me to head down a path, kind of capture a vaguely working solution, and then kind of jump over to the actual my master branch in Git, and I can cherry pick little parts of that into my main code branch. But it's really just about having this anthology of all the stuff I've ever done. And that's what version control is important for. Version control for me is not a backup system. It's not something I'm doing in that way. It's not really a, I don't use it as a collaboration system, though obviously many, many, many people do, and most of you who were listening to this podcast probably do as well, but I just happen to be a one-man shop, so it's not really useful for collaboration for me in that way, but it is very useful for collaboration. I'll talk about that a little bit when I talk about GitHub. And the second thing it is it's incredibly helpful to be able to have repeatable snapshots of code bases. And what I mean by that is, so if I, right now, I think, say Check the Weather, version 1.2 is the current App Store version. However, I have version 1.3 already submitted to the App Store, and I have a few even bug fixes beyond that I've been, testing and doing as I've been going along. That's just kind of the development process, especially with Apple, where you're kind of, you make a snapshot, you submit it to the App Store, and then you keep moving potentially up to, a week or two of changes. And so what's very helpful, though, is that I can go back and pull up exactly what it was I submitted. I pull up the tag or the commit that I know that I submitted on, and I can recreate something. So even if I get a help desk request from somebody now who says, I'm having this problem, it's very reproducible, but it's only, it only happens on version 1.1. I can go and find version 1.1 inside of my version control system rather than having to have some kind of clunky making zip files of my source tree or something and archiving them that way. So those are the two things that I really want my version control to do. I want it to have an anthology of all my working code, and I want to have the ability to reproduce, sort of particular snapshots in time. And that's really it. And exactly what you do, which system you use to do that, really doesn't matter. I mean, I started off using CVS back in the day, then I used SVN, and now I use Git, and I've played around with a few of the others, like, was it SourceSafe? Perforce. There's all kinds of these other little version control systems. Many of them, you know, come with sort of in big enterprise-y systems rather than kind of more general or open source style. And right now I use Git. And I use Git almost exclusively because it's the kind of like the lingua franca for the development community. And by that I mean, I don't really care. Git does some crazy stuff that I'm sure I could use. But like I said, I'm an independent. I don't need all of the really complicated distributed branching and all the stuff that you can do that is really helpful when you're working in a large team. It's just me. I use Git because everyone else seems to use Git. And so I want to be skilled with it so that I can interact well with other people who post code online or in other different places. And I want to be able to sort of speak that language. It's the most popular one, so I went with it. Git is pretty solid, though. I'm not using it kind of reluctantly. It's definitely grown on me. It took a while to wrap my head around it from when I came from an SVN background. But the things I like most about Git is that it is distributed. And the biggest part of that is that you can do non-connected commits, which is something that at first I didn't think would make that much of a difference. My server's almost always available, and often I've even run SVN servers locally, so my server's always available. But the fact that you're not tied to a particular, you can completely reproduce a Git repository just by copying its directory. And then you can take that and put somewhere else. Just has been really, really helpful in a lot of situations. I can create a copy of my, take a repository, put it on a thumb drive, go on a trip. I have all of the history that is associated with that repository in that directory. I don't need something else that I'm connecting to. And also, as a bigger part of that, I think, is that the latency is zero. Which makes me really fast because I'm not interacting with the server all the time, or even on a local server. It's still not quite as fast as doing direct file access. And Git's also just built to be really fast. So those are the things that I really like about it. I think I don't really particularly like some of the... I'm not a huge fan of the two-phase commit. I've gotten used to it, and I'm fine. But my development philosophy tends to be I'm always stage all commit, so it always feels kind of redundant that I have to stage all my files and then commit them, which I know why you do that, and it makes sense, but not really for my workflow. And I don't really like that Git has... Sometimes I feel like Git is a little too dangerous or too freeform, and this speaks more to times when I've worked on larger teams where, because you can do anything with Git, it creates a couple of situations. One, people can go round and round and round about how we're going to structure our Git flow. Git flow is even a philosophy, or I'm going to organize it. So we have this branch for this and this branch for this, and I'm going to merge from this to this. Oh, we have a merge conflict. Let me rebase that with, all this crazy stuff that people can end up doing that just isn't really productive. You can create lots and lots of busy work that feels very productive using Git because it's so unstructured and you can do anything. The ability to do anything is often the most dangerous thing in most things in sort of technology. Having a little bit of structure, I think, would be nice. You can easily kind of enforce that on yourself. For me, the vast majority of my work, I have a master branch that's sort of code I expect to ship. I have branches that is code I'm not sure if I'm going to ship. And then I push that off all, I only really push master onto my main sort of repository. That's sort of Git at a high level. Git is pretty straightforward in terms of its operation. You Git init to create a repository. You Git add to say that a file should be added to the next commit. You say Git commit to commit that file, and then now you've made a snapshot of that current directory or of the stage files at that point in the directory. And you can branch, Git branch, and that creates a sort of an alternative fork of your code path that you can develop down, commit to, and then you can ultimately Git merge to put that back in. It's fairly straightforward. It does all the kind of the obvious things. It doesn't do that much that's particularly unique. It does something better than others. Some people say Mercurial is much better. I don't really know or particularly care. Like I said, I use Git not because of its feature and its functionality, but because everyone uses it, and it does a good enough job that works fine for me. So I'm going to talk a little bit about GitHub and what it did. And I think it's kind of a remarkable thing that GitHub kind of solved this problem that I think a lot of people had And I don't think its success is strictly tied to the fact that they use Git. It just so happened that they use Git, and Git became very popular in the Rails community. And when GitHub was founded, that was important. But GitHub allows is for people to share code very, very easily, to fork and sort of alter it, and to kind of have this very efficient open source process that is really very useful. I mean, GitHub is a great resource, and I use it mostly for just looking for inspiration, looking for people who've solved the same problems that I've had, in looking at kind of how they did it, or getting some sort of help there. You know, something like Snack Overflow is really useful for if you have a question or something very specific. But often what I'm just kind of interested in is I'll go and just look at how other people write, especially people who open source code, who the developer is someone I respect, someone who I admire. I love just kind of looking through it. Like yesterday, the last couple of days, the Pocket SDK was released, which is some work that Steve Strezza has done. And it was just fascinating to go and look at the way it was structured, and it's really kind of clever and well put together and thoughtfully designed, and that's good for inspiration. And GitHub, I think, is just a great tool for that. It's a great way to kind of put code out there and let people easily pull it down and work on it, change it if they want, and so on. It's not perfect, but I think it does a great job at that. I think GitHub is on for collaboration purposes. I've never really gotten into all the crazy stuff you can do that some organizations will do. You know, you can do milestoning and issues and all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, primarily I just use it for open source stuff, and all my own stuff I actually don't even use at GitHub. All my own stuff I host at Bitbucket. And I host at Bitbucket because they have a much better plan for the independent, for someone like me, where they charge based on number of users rather than a number of repositories, which is always kind of cumbersome and annoying for me at GitHub, because I have many dozen repositories. If you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you know that I have a bit of a problem with starting new projects and thinking about things and creating new products and shipping new products. And so I tend to have lots and lots of code repositories. And I think at some point I was paying GitHub for that. And I was paying essentially their max rate, which isn't a crazy amount of money. I think it was $50, $60 a month. But still, it wasn't really needed. For Bitbucket, my purposes are much, much less expensive, if anything. I'm not sure. I may even still be in the free plan, even. Like, it's a much better fit for a small developer, for somebody who's just trying to... It's really just kind of an archive for me, in a way that I can pull down my code from somewhere else if I need to. So that's kind of what I do for source control. A couple of resources, I'd say, is that definitely go to look at a ProGit, which is an online free book. I believe that you can also buy the book. But it's a great little book if you kind of are learning Git and kind of not really sure how to work your way around, or you're trying to solve a specific problem. You're kind of getting into what's the difference between a rebase and a merge. It's a great book for that. I'll have a link in the show notes to it. But otherwise, it's the kind of thing you just kind of play with. And you just want to learn kind of some of the patterns that you want to get good at. And of course, I would be remiss on an iOS development podcast talking about source control to not mention that there are a lot of files that you'll interact with in an Xcode project that do not merge well. And these are nibs, and these are the sort of Xcode project file. And these files are essentially unmergeable. Project files are slightly mergeable, and nibs are just impossible. Your head will explode trying to merge them. So you need to be very careful whenever you're working with one of these, primarily to make sure that you're not going to sort of be crushing other people's problems or creating problems for other people. You know, if two people edit a nib file and then you're trying to merge that together, you almost always need to just pick a winner and then reapply the changes that you made to someone else. So just always be aware of that. Anytime you change a nib in a collaborative environment, make sure that you are pushing that very quickly and other people are pulling it before they make other changes. So just pro tip, I've made that mistake enough times to know that it's a big pain. All right, that's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, or concerns, I'm on Twitter at _DavidSmith. I'm on AppNet at DavidSmith. And otherwise, like I said, this is a great time if you have questions, specific questions, problems, things that you are struggling with, things that you are wondering about. I'll do my best to answer. Just hit me up on Twitter. If you want to email me, if you have a slightly more lengthy thing, I'm david@david-smith.org. But otherwise, I hope you guys have a great week and weekend, and happy coding. I'll talk to you later. Bye.